Well, dead things don't normally come back to life. That is what Dr. Joshua Mesrick believed before his first day of surgical residency. During medical school, he wasn't sure which area of medicine he wanted to specialize in, but on this particular day, on his first day of surgical rotation, he decided. The day began with him coming to work a bit anxious about his new situation, and when he arrived, he immediately found out that he was on call, and this news made him even more anxious. His day was filled with cases, visiting patients, and going from one task to the next. And by nighttime, he realized that he hadn't eaten anything since waking that morning. By 11 p.m., he was still at work, exhausted, hungry, and at one point, he almost passed out. And all he wanted to do was go home and crawl into bed. But it was also at that time that another resident above him told him to go and scrub for a surgery that would take place around midnight. "Really?" he said. Begrudgingly and groggy-eyed, he scrubbed and went into the operating room, and he was there to witness a kidney transplant with a kidney from a deceased donor. And as he watched the organ come out of the ice, he says, it was as if time stopped. The surgeon he was observing placed it into the patient, attached it, released the clamps, and suddenly the limp and motionless, dull little piece of flesh turned pink, and it began processing liquid right before his eyes. Joshua was amazed. The kidney, which had been removed from a dead donor, was now functioning again and giving life to a new person. What an incredible gift, he thought. And he wondered if he could ever be so blessed to be part of this beautiful exchange. He was taken by it, and in that moment, watching that kidney, he realized that he too wanted to be a transplant surgeon. And even today, as he is the associate professor of multi-organ transplantation at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine, and has led hundreds of kidney, liver, and pancreas transplants, and participated in many others, he remains absolutely amazed that organs, after being taken from dead people, and after being put on ice for hours, can begin to function and give new life. Hearts begin beating, lungs essentially start breathing, and every transplant, every time, brings him amazement. He isn't the only one amazed. Families of the donor patients and the patients who receive the organs are amazed too. Because the donor's body may be dead, but their organs are giving new life and new possibilities and a future for someone who thought that their end was very near. So one person's death essentially allows for and becomes new life for someone else. And this promise of new life is quite possibly what allows the families to have a glimmer of hope in a desperate and terrible situation. When Dr. Mesrick meets with families who have lost loved ones about the process of donating organs to people whose lives will be saved, these family members hang on every word. They want to hear about every detail of what will happen. They want to know about the recipients, who they are and what they do. They want to know about how their organs in their loved ones will go on. They want to know how a tragic death will be redeemed. They want to know how death will become life. They want to know because there may be nothing more terrifying than death. We don't want to lose those we love, and we don't want to experience death for ourselves. We don't want to experience physical death or the death of a relationship or a career, an expectation, a hope, or a certain part of our identity. These losses, too, can feel painful and isolating, that we feel as if we have no hope. And then we might often think that because of our logic or our experience of life, that new life after death is impossible. When something has stopped moving or breathing, or when a situation is dormant and dull and breathless, we believe it's finished and final. And we grieve it. So when something or someone gives us hope, hope of new life, whether in the form of an organ from a dead body, which can come alive and function and create a future for someone, or when a body that was whipped, beaten, hung on the cross, and died and placed in a tomb miraculously is resurrected, it surprises us and causes amazement and reminds us that there is more to this life and more to what we see and know because of God and God's abundant grace. We may ask, how does this grace work? How does that organ seem to just come to life and function again? How does God cause Jesus to come back to life in the resurrection? And how does the death of one thing make way and allow for the new life of something else? Well, we may not really understand it all within our human limits, but life itself defies logic, and resurrected life does too. Jesus' body hung on that cross. He died and was placed in a tomb with a heavy stone covering the entrance. Days passed, and all logic and evidence indicated that he was dead, and his body would, like all dead bodies, return to the earth, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But it didn't. On that first day of the week at early dawn, with myrrh and spices in their hands, ready to prepare Jesus' body, the women who had come from Galilee came to that tomb and were witness to God's most amazing grace of all. They found that stone rolled away and the body gone, and it was resurrected. They were understandably perplexed and understandably terrified when those two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. They bowed their faces to the ground as they were reminded about the truth, about how Jesus told them that on the third day he would rise, and he did. They returned and told the disciples, and Peter ran to the tomb, and he, like the woman and anyone else who is witness to death becoming life, was amazed. New life does rise up from ashes, from hopelessness, from lifelessness, and resurrected life can spring forth after something has ended because of God's grace. Thanks be to God. And this night, as we've heard the stories of God's grace through the stories of creation, of God's parting of the Red Sea, of the Valley of Dry Bones coming to life with flesh and breath and life, we've heard some of the greatest examples of God's saving grace in our lives. And we've heard the greatest of all of them, which is the story of Jesus rising from the dead. And this new life makes all other life possible. The life gifted to us in Jesus Christ transforms all of our endings into moments of possibility and new beginning. Death is no longer the end for us. We have a hope and a promise that this physical life we see and know is not all there is. There is a new beginning after every ending, in this life and in the next. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are gifted resurrection too. And it's into this resurrected life that we baptize Franklin this night. Because he's baptized by God, beloved by God, like all of us, gifted with God's grace and abundant life, all of his endings from this moment forward will be new beginnings. He will walk in newness of life, and he, like us, is gifted the greatest gift we could ever imagine, the gift of the resurrection. So we can say, Alleluia, Christ is risen, and we are too, in more ways than we ever could count. So thanks be to God, and happy Easter. Amen.